Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for November 15th, year 2022. I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If those others on the call like to say their names so that people can associate a name to the voice, now is a good time. Sean says, I just lost my mic. Sorry. Well, that is not Sean's voice, by the way. That was my voice again. Others?
This is Red's background noise.
Red's background noise.
And I'm Gord Tischer.
All right.
And I'm Sean Allen.
Perfect. Okay. So let's take a look at our auto-generated agenda for today. Let's begin with RFC 203, or rather pull request 203 in the RFC's repo. Add RFC for the inclusion of all erase codes from the term package. This has final comment period. I see no comments except for Borja pointed out a missing word. Line 57.
Just about every approach we have as an option, right? That's the word?
Yes.
I hate it when people are like, you're missing a word, and then it's like, oh, well, thank you for helping me figure out which
that drives me nuts. Yeah. Yeah, GitHub has the very handy suggestions, you know, now that, well, I mean, as of the past few years, but yeah, you can just go ahead and suggest a change.
Just about every approach we have as an option.
Yeah.
Okay.
Borja also had a question. Borja did approve, but Borja also had a question of how the generated documentation looks if the parameter is a private type alias. Does it show the different types or does it show the private type alias? That's a reasonable question.
It will not show the private type alias. All documentation, by the time we get to the doc gen point, all the type aliases have been flattened. You can see existing documentation.
That's right. It doesn't show any type aliases. Okay. That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that. So, okay.
I'm pushing the fix for the typo. Do we want to put this in ready for vote and vote on it next week?
I thought we'd vote on it now, but...
Okay. That works as well.
I guess I forgot how the labels work. I mean, I thought this was the final comment period and we can vote now, but...
We've the ready for vote... we usually do at the same time as the final comment period. So
how do you want to do it? Should we ratify now?
I think so. I mean,
okay. So any objections? I see that among those of us on the call, Sean wrote it. Gordon and I already approved. Red, do you have any comments or objections?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, so let's say it's approved.
Yep. Go ahead, say it's approved, and I will deal with doing the setting everything up, merging it and setting everything up for it later. So just like drop a note that said it was approved during sync so it comes from somebody other than the author, and I will deal with this evening.
Approved during today's sync call, heavy check mark emoji. Off we go. On to pull request 201, introduce empty ranges.
I think the question here, really, for this one at this point is, do we accept this RFC as it is, right? Which I believe everyone says is an improvement to the existing functionality. And we can then have a different RFC to discuss reverse and range and ranges that go backwards or if that's allowed, et cetera, and an attempt to remove all of the foot guns where many foot guns and a lack of where reverse is not actually the opposite of range, et cetera, have been pointed out during this. I think that's the big question, right?
I would lean in favor of accepting it as is because this doesn't, I don't think it I think the question of reverse was raised during discussion, but the RFC doesn't say anything like this makes it match reverse or, you know, whatever.
Unless somebody on this disagrees, I say that what we do is we drop a comment on this and say there's 1 week to discuss specifically just the changes in here and whether folks are in favor of them or not, right? And that any of the additional conversation for other stuff can be done in a separate RFC. And it's really a question of whether we accept this or not. And it would be reasonable for somebody to say they're against this because they believe all of the other things should be addressed, but that we don't want to hold up voting specifically on the changes in this RFC. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes. I'm trying to capture that in a comment. You can feel free to add more color to it yourself if you want.
I'm sure your color will be good.
My favorite color is purple.
I will actually take this and I will switch it over to ready to vote, right? Because that's basically what we're saying is we're going to vote on it next week. If anybody wants to make any comments on it, they can leading up to the vote, but we're planning on voting on this next week. Sound reasonable?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay, comment has been left. Off we go to the Pony C repo. There is a pull request 4243. Don't include home file in documentation search is the title. This is the documentation site. This is for generated sites, I think.
Yep, for generated documentation.
So it's changing the YAML for the generated file to say exclude the home file from search. Okay.
Yep. So if you were to go to ponylang.github.io/appdirs, /, go ahead and load that, right?
Loaded.
Okay. The page that we landed on, this is the home file, all right? So this does appear right now in search and will, in the only for being excluded from search, that's only picked up if somebody's using the insider's build right now, but eventually that will make it its way into regular MKDocs material. But this page is in the search index right now. So if you go searching for AppDirs, which is also a class, right? Mm-hmm. You'll see that this page comes up as one of the search results, and it is frankly useless as a search result, right? It is a listing of all the packages. It's good for initial navigation, right? But it is not something that we want showing up in the search docs, the search where in addition to the page that has the actual class or whatever, it's listing it there. It's not helpful, I believe.
Okay.
And this would remove that. For me, if I type AppDir in the search, it is coming up for whatever reason as the first result is this home file page.
Yeah.
And it would remove that. That's what.
Yeah, and it's actually causing two more to be hidden beneath a fold. What's interesting is that the package page doesn't show up if I just type AppDirs. So the package page that has the package doc string library for detecting platform specific, like the I can't get that result unless I start typing library for detecting platform specific. It's interesting. Yeah,
the
search is weird.
The search is a little funky on that at times. I'm not sure why it decided to not include that one. It appears to sometimes, but most of the time it doesn't, which I think is actually good. I don't think that we want that package page coming up just for just aptdirs like that. But if we were to say type active state, we do want that to come up, right? Yeah. But I haven't investigated that fully. I was noticing as I was rolling out the newly updated and improved search for all of the libraries yesterday, I noticed this as a thing after a few searches where I was like, oh yeah, that's something we would like to drop, I believe.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, I approved the PR and so did Matthias 11 hours ago.
Oh, nice. So then I will go ahead and merge this and it'll go out with the next release. I did a release yesterday to get the basic search exclusion of all the source files in, so that when I did the update to use the private one, which has a much better search in general for all the libraries yesterday, it would be on an actual release version of stuff and not latest, so that I wouldn't have to go back through and do a change later. It was a release for my own benefit of not having to do a bunch of extra work later.
Right.
And so whenever the next release for this happens, this will go out. And the next time any libraries get their documentation updated after the next release, they would pick up this change. Or you know, after this goes out, there is on each of the library repos, there is a thing that you can trigger from the GitHub UI to update the documentation, which would be another way to pick this up later.
All right. So up next, skipping over release 0.52.2 ticket, going to issue ticket 4240, partial constructor application, Pony C Segfault.
I thought I had taken that tag off the issue, the release one. 0.52.2, that's showing up with the...
I took the tag off.
Just removed it 35 seconds ago. I thought I'd done it yesterday. I didn't, apparently. Okay, good. All right. It's no longer there. Awesome.
So 4240. Let's see. You asked for some debugger output.
Yep. And he gave some, and I haven't had a chance to look at it further. My guess from looking at this is that that we're not expecting for there to be a gen not needed made here, making it to here, but that it does. I mean clearly that's what it is, but I think the question is the assertion incorrect at this point? And we should be handling it here, or should it be that before we ever do like the call or the expression or whatever, that it never makes it this far down? I haven't looked at the code yet to know, but looking at the backtrace, you know, it seems to be, this is one of those, the nobody ever expected when the compiler was written, nobody thought about this particular case, but they're very much like, oh, I'm not expecting gen not needed here. Well, here's a way that you can get it.
Okay. So I'm just digging into the code now. So gen assign cast, a little bit of background on that. It's used basically anytime you have a value of some, you know, type. So this is during code generation. So this is happening when we're generating LLVM IR. And we say we have a certain value and we expect it to be a certain type. And we, like in the process, might need to sort of do special operations to cast it. So an example would be, we have like a number, like a numeric primitive, and we're casting it to an interface type any, or maybe we're casting it to a type union and it needs to be boxed. And so we may need to basically create a new value that has the same sort of semantics as the original value, but has the new type representation. And that's kind of what this function's here for, gen assign cast. And so we have the gen assign cast getting invoked for basically the incoming value that we're trying to cast is gen not needed, which is basically means that we have a value that we determine is not actually being used. And if it's not being used, there's kind of no reason to cast it. So I think the problem is probably outside of this function and in the caller of this function. So I'm going to go to gen call.
Yeah, I'm looking at gen call right now. I mean, we don't do anything in gen call with it being a gen not needed. I think it's just an assumption that we don't get here with the gen not needed for this.
So gen call calls gen assign cast in two places. Once for the result of the call at the end, and then the other place is for each of the arguments to basically cast to the parameter type. And I'm not sure off the top. The backtrace does not specify which place this is calling from, whether this is one of the arguments. So the other comment from this person, the original poster of this ticket, says gen assign cast and gen expert.c fails when AST is a type ref. Error only happens when using partial application on constructors from a type and not a variable. The types. So these examples that fail all have no arguments. Oh, I guess the curried receiver, I guess, is an argument at this point. Sorry, I said curried, but habit. The partially applied receiver is an argument. So it could these are all. So it's not the result value, though. It can't be the result value at this point because, let me look.
I assume it's the one on line 895 where we're blowing up. I assume. That gen assign cast?
Sorry, I lost my window. Where is my window? I moved it over to this window. Okay. 895 is what you said? Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, because the result, the one that happens later. Wait, is that even the same function? It's not the, or no, it is the same function. The other one I was looking at was line 13, 16. Oh, but that's gen FFI. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So there is only one. There is only one gen assign cast in here. Yeah.
Okay. So, and in this case, there's only one argument involved, which is the receiver. And the receiver, when you're doing partial application on a variable, the receiver value is the value of that variable. When you're doing partial application on a type for the constructor, I think we're generating and say, hey, the constructor has no type. The constructor has no, the receiver of a constructor has no value because conceptually we haven't constructed it yet. And there's no, we have no value at the runtime level for a type, except for like a primitive, but this is again prior to construction. So yeah. So I think the right way to solve this, well, I'm not sure. So you know, to get past this assertion, I think it would be fair to guard that gen assign cast call and saying only do this if
not needed, right?
Yeah. If it's not needed, if it is needed,
if it's not because we're taking the ARG, right? We're taking the incoming ARG, and we're doing a genocide cast on it and then putting it right back into the same data structure at the same point. So if this is a gen not needed, then everything should be, everything should be fine as long as we don't do that one line on 895, right? Does that look correct to you? Modulo testing, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, yeah, although I think we might run into another issue, which is...
Oh, yeah, because we don't need the ARG.
The ARG doesn't need to be passed anyway. The constructor, it's, I think we need a whole special code path here for constructors. Oh, hang on. Line 935, there's some code that is expecting, that is dealing with constructors as a special case. Which is interesting because that expects, so 938,
yep,
is expecting the constructor argument,
which I think should be fine if we don't try to do the gen assign cast.
Well, because but it's not it's not needed, like the value is a special value called gen not needed,
yeah,
which is not a valid pointer to a class instance,
right?
But at this call we are calling I need to look at the partial application code. So in the expert pass call.c has, let's see, sugar for partial application. So call.c line 738.
For people following along at home, that is in the EXPR call.c, as there is more than one call.c.
Oh, whoops, sorry. I'm just looking here. We have so it's creating a lambda and is it actually creating a lambda or is it creating a, no, it's creating the type. I think the special code for constructors might need to go in this function. In what we're rewriting for partial application. So it's a little bit confusing because we talk about arguments and parameters. There's like two levels to it. But it's also the captures. But yes, it's creating a lambda. Lambda parameters would be unchanged. Because we're the things which were previously, yeah, the receiver is curried anyway. So lambda parameters is unchanged. So that's lambda underscore params. So we have Lambda call args. What is Lambda call args used for? This is inside the Lambda. Okay. We have the call receiver. Call receiver. We need to do something special with. Okay, so if it's bare, then the we have a whole special code path for if, so on line 808 of the call.c in the expression pass, we have if bare, and if bare, then we go through this whole special code path where the call receiver is a type instead of like an instance. Instead of a value. So I think that code path for if bare, or at least something similar to it, would need to, I think line 808 probably needs to be something like if bare or constructor instead of if bare, and then some of the code within if bare, within that whole big block, would be relevant for the constructor, and some of it's not. A lot of it is. I'd say the majority of it is relevant. So there's a few things. So it's the partial application of a bare method cannot take arguments. So that's not relevant. The partial application on a bare object returns the object itself is not relevant either. So yeah, it's like everything between line 831 and 830 needs to be if bare or constructor. Well, I guess, yeah.
So I think, so looking at this and back in gen expression, right? I believe from his comment, but I'm not positive on this, if we have a TK type ref, which appears to be what he's calling out, this is in gen expression, line 59, right, in the code gen. If we have a type ref at that point, we are setting the return, but we are setting it to gen not needed when we get there.
Yeah. What I'm getting at is probably to try to
go ahead. Right. What I'm saying is that because we have the type ref when we get to there, that's where our gen not needed, I believe, is coming from.
Yes.
So our key thing is that we want to not have a type ref by the time we get to that point, right?
Yes.
In the code gen, yeah.
So I have not tested it, but I have a diff that's kind of, that may work and may be close to what we want. So I'm going to kind of quickly kind of paste that diff in the ticket, so then we can maybe move on.
Because I think from the angle that I was looking at it from, yeah, you're right. In the, you know, earlier on in the expression pass in call.c, you know, we need to not be having it come out of here like it is, right?
Like, yeah, because it's treating the type as if it had a value, which in Pony it does not.
Yeah.
And the diff I have is actually.
And the expectation clearly from later code is that is that there should not be a type ref getting to that point. If there is a type ref, it's not needed. And for everything else that comes later, we're not expecting and not needed. So we want to not have that type ref coming out of this earlier code.
Yes, I'm typing up a brief summary of that here.
Okay. Do we, at this point, for fixing this, do we think this is a good first issue? I put good first issue for the triaging portion of it. What do you think, Joe?
I think sort of, yes.
I think it's close enough that it could be, right? And I don't think for what the investigation we did, I think I could take the needs investigation off of this. Yeah?
I think so.
Okay. And then after you drop the comment, I'll wait a minute and then I'll remove the discuss during sync.
So yeah, I'm writing in Pony, a type by itself does not have a value. Hence we get the gen not needed as the value which cannot be cast. I believe the correct fix is to add a special case path in for constructors in the code that generates the lambda or the, yeah, I'll say, the code that sugars, yeah, in the part of the compiler that sugars the partial application into a lambda such that we use the type as a receiver rather than the value of that type, which again does not exist. There's already a code path for bare functions. Which I think we can leverage. So perhaps fix is as simple as what I pasted below. However, I have not tested this yet. Whoever works on this issue could use this as a starting point. And reach out in Zulip if they need, or on this ticket, more guidance. Okay. There's my diff. It's actually just like a 4-line change of what I think might work. I'm not sure. but that's like where I would start. Okay. So yeah, somebody could pick this up, test it, add some test cases, add some release notes when they get it working, so on. Okay. What is next? Well, we're past the halfway mark. Anybody have special topics they want to raise while we're here together? All right. Well, in that case, let's move on to Issue ticket 4222. Modify LibPonyC test runner to be able to run each test in LLDB/debugger.
I don't think there's much of anything to do under the discuss during sync here. Gordon, do you follow along with what the issue here is? Like, I've seen crashes from the stuff that's being run, but all we can see is if there's a crash, not what actually happened, but from, you know, because the runner doesn't start it up in a debugger or anything like our others. I think it would be a good enhancement. Thoughts, questions?
Sorry, I've been distracted.
So basically, when the runner runs a test, right, okay, we either get good or bad, but if it does something like seg faults, for example, right, we have no information about what happened except there was a seg fault. So I think that modifying the runner at some point to, if we're in general running stuff with a debugger, to have the runner be able to actually start up each of the individual tests in a debugger so that we could get the output from a crash like we do with, you know, unit tests or whatever, would be a handy thing.
Yeah, that's what that would be cool.
Yep.
I can take a look at that if you like.
Or someone else can, yeah, if you have time.
All right. Let's see. We have 4221.
Coincidentally, on 4222, the way that this came up is that due to a change for how the runner works, we are now, and this is actually excellent, we are more likely to trigger bug, which issue were we going to next? 4221? Yes?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, we are more likely to trigger some bugs, it looks like, in the runner tests, including like something like 4221. And I suspect 4221, we only get the seg fault from it in release mode, so it's hard to tell, but I think that probably 4221 is in fact the same thing as 4220, except that it was in release mode, so we didn't see it because it popped up around the same time as these ones that have started popping up that are on issue 4220. Which happened in debug mode.
Yeah.
So I would say we could remove the discuss during sync on this one, the 4221, and we leave it hanging around in case it happens, continues to happen after something for 4220 was addressed. Sound reasonable? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Moving on to 4220 test failures that look related to cycle detector. Wait, that's the one you just talked about, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So there is another issue. 4193. So 4193, I'm going to jump to talking about that for a moment. All right.
Okay.
I've asked Derek to break that into two separate issues because one, he's seeing a thing where it looks like he's getting no output at sometimes when it runs to completion, where we're calling that early termination, and that looks to be different than the seg fault that he's getting. I believe that 4220 is probably his seg fault from 4193 as well, that 4220 and 4193 for the non-early termination are probably the same thing, which is which in 4193, there is some a link to the same conversation that I linked to here in a comment 14 days ago about orphaned actors and the cycle detector and it being possible for a orphaned actor to actually end up with the cycle detector. And that is probably, this is a issue which was at least theoretically possible, although we hadn't seen it come up a lot. But with the change that was made to the test runner, where we're running a lot more tests at the same time now, it appears that we're much more likely to trigger this, and that I think that at least half of 4193 and 4220 are the same thing.
Okay.
So I think we could take the, I'll take the discuss during sync off of this. I believe that if we fixed, the one for 4193, and that these would also go away. And I'm actually kind of happy about the fact that the change we did with the runner appears to make these much more likely to happen, so that if we do a fix and we stop seeing these, we should feel much better about the race condition fix.
All right. Last one in the issues list is 4174, memory corruption via array.copy2. The last sync call, we discussed that you and I were in agreement about the approach I outlined in the comment on August 26th in that ticket. And Borja was originally opposed to that, but we asked him to reconsider. He did reconsider between then and now, and says the point about silent breaking change was a good one and is on board with that approach. So I think we could mark this as ready for work.
Yep. And I've asked Stefan on it if he's still interested in doing it now that we have our resolution.
Yeah, you asked that 28 days ago, but yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. And he said, well, yes, but what were we doing? And now we do have a thing. So I want to check to see if he's still still up for it.
Cool.
All right. Did you change the labels or should I do that?
I will change the labels.
Okay.
Took away discuss during sync.
Yep. We don't have a ready for work anymore.
We don't have a ready for work.
So it's good. We don't have the discuss during sync. Help wanted. Triggers release. Okay. Boom.
Great. Very good. So let's see here. I don't see any other things in the auto-generated agenda that look relevant for us to discuss. I see some dependency bumps. We see a test PR and a last week in Pony.
There is an issue, which I can't remember the number, but you and I discussed it, Joe, that I figured we could let people know. Do you remember the issue, which is the one where we go kaboom if we send, we can go kaboom if we send a reference to an actor, which to itself, to another actor, which is a vowel, and then it gets held onto and it crashes. You remember that one?
No, I will look for it.
But you know the one I'm referring to, right? I just don't know the number.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I'm looking for it as well, so that we could just let folks know.
I don't understand the new search API or this new search.
It seems to give. Yeah, I find it impossible to use the search to find anything now, since some change that GitHub made. I find it very frustrating. I know. Well, this would definitely be labeled with triggers release, so that should narrow everything down a good amount. Yes, here we go. It's 1118.
Oh yes, lucky number 1118.
I should assign this to myself. So for folks who know this, basically there is a optimization, which in theory, this is in the ORCA paper, which in theory is safe, at least in terms of what ORCA talks about. This is specifically the ORCA related stuff is specifically addressed by Joe on 1118. Joe and I have discussed this separately, and we decided that the fix for this is a rather complicated one, which is going to take a while to do. So what we're going to do is I am going to open a PR to remove the optimization, which causes this crash. And I will also, at the same time that that PR is opened, I will open an issue, which will be taking the information from here about what is needed in order to safely re-add the optimization when it is possible to safely do the optimization. And that will be opened as an issue enhancement where somebody could work on it and which would add a improvement in terms of speed for the runtime back in for that optimization, but that we agreed to remove the optimization as it causes crashes in scenarios like this. And that's really unacceptable. And we've known what the fix is for a while now and nobody's picked it up. So we should go ahead and do the removal of the optimization, which is quick and easy. And then the much more complicated thing is something that somebody could pick up in the future.
Yep.
And I assigned that to myself. So there we go. That is something I plan to do in the not so distant future. I think that's everything, yes.
Okay.
I just created an issue for that thing we saw the other day where you can recover a valve from a box.
Oh yes, that one should get triggers release as well. That's awful.
Oh, I think I missed the
it was discussed in Zulip.
Okay, I think I probably missed that. So yeah, let's
4244. Yes.
So that should get triggers release, definitely. I'll put that on. Bug, help wanted, triggers release needs investigation. That sound reasonable?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay. And we can should we leave the discuss during sync on that and we can go over it next week?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to edit this because it says you can get a VAIL, which
I already edited it.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Yes, that would definitely be a bug.
Yeah, it may be possible to get an ISO too, but yeah, it needs investigation to figure out how. Yeah. But yes, definitely. Bad, bad, awesome. Bad.
Bad, 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 bad. All righty.
Thank you, everyone, for attending and for those who listen to the recording later. We will catch you next week. Thanks. Bye.